Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome to Just Believe Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Tarvis, and we are having another great show, I hope, today. But I've got lots of updates for everybody, lots of things going on that I wanted to touch on before I introduce our guest. We're going to be focusing today on reflexology, which I think is such an amazing, it's something that I studied and actually got a certification in, but nothing that I've really practiced in my work. So I don't really do it. I've got an expert in it. I'm going to be on with us today and explain to us what an amazing healing modality it is for people. And a lot of people out there, you may have already used it yourself. Because a lot of people have, and if you have, you can feel free to call in and give us your story on how it did, or you know how it worked for you and what you thought. Anybody who wants to call in, by the way, the call in number is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And press 1, you can call and just listen to the show dialing that number, but you can also call, press 1, and I'll see you in the queue, and I'm bringing you on as soon as there's an appropriate moment in the show. So my name again is Lisa Tarvis, and I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner. I'm intuitive counselor, author of the book Just Believe, and radio show host, obviously, of the show Just Believe. And The show airs Sunday, every Sunday. This is the last time the show is going to actually air at 1 p.m. Eastern. I am going to be moving the show, which is my big announcement. I'm going to be moving the show to 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm hoping that it makes it a little easier for the people on the West Coast and the coasts that are a little behind hour-wise from the East Coast. I'm hoping it makes it a little easier for my guests and for the listeners, and gives you something, you know, something to listen to, something fun to listen to on Sunday evening. So from now on, after this week, starting next week, the show's going to be on at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm really looking forward to the change. I think it's going to be really good for the show, and I think it's going to be really good for all the listeners. Of course, you can still always listen to it in the archives if you miss it, and if you miss it live, you can always listen to it in the archives at blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. That and the other shows on the Right Stream Network. Which brings me to my next update, my next announcement kind of thing. And I'm not going to say too much about this. We've got lots going on with Right Stream Radio Network. We are, Daria, who is the founder of the network, and I are working really, really hard to try and grow the network and try and get it bigger and better and make it more easily accessible for our listeners. So with that in mind, we created a website for the network. It's not completely done yet. I'm going to tell everybody where it is and to go visit it, but it's not perfect yet. It's close to perfect, but it's not perfect. There's still some content that we need to get on there. Everybody visit rightstreamradio.com. WriteStream is WriteStream, WriteStream, and then radio.com. And check out our new website and let us know what you think. There's a contact page. You can send us an email. Let us know what you think of the page or the site, and I think you'll like it. It's got highlights on it's got bios and highlights for each of our guests and each of our hosts and each of our shows. And that's going to be something that we're really going to be making lots of announcements going forward on. The other thing is we actually have a new show starting that I'm going to be part of, and I'm not going to say much about it, but it's going to be a women's issues kind of show, from, you know, serious women's issues to makeup and fashion. And, you know, we're going to have a huge range of different things, and we're going to make it really fun for people to listen to. And that's going to be starting next month. And we will release more details about that, so stay tuned on that for that information. I'm always looking for guests for the show, I'm actually looking right now for a fun Christmas show. So anybody that knows a fun Christmas show I could do, I don't know what to do for Christmas. It's not on Christmas. It's December 22nd would be the Sunday I have my show. But I want to do something special for Christmas, and I'm trying to figure some great idea out to make it. For New Year's, we're going to do, do psychic readings because that just makes sense for New Year's. But for Christmas, I'm not really completely sure what I want to do. So if anybody has any great ideas, make sure you email me at lisa@lisatarvis.com, lisa@lisatarves.com. We're looking for experts in the fields of spirituality, holistic health, metaphysics, the paranormal, anything. So if you want to be a guest, even if you don't have an idea for the Christmas show, that's fine. If you want to be a guest and you are an expert or you know of an expert in any of those fields, shoot me an email, lisa@lisatarvis.com, and I will take a look at that. Otherwise, I think that's everything that I need to say right now. The chat room's open, by the way. Anybody who wants to pop into the chat room today, feel free. It is open. Well, it's restarting for some reason, but it is open. And I'll be checking in there and chatting as much as possible in the chat room today. So anyway, I want to introduce, Daria's in the chat room. Okay. She's putting all those things I'm talking about. The social media button. Yeah, I forgot about that, Daria. Thanks. she's in the chat room keeping me honest here. We do have all kinds of new social media buttons for our social media accounts set up now for WriteStream Radio. So we've had a Facebook and a Twitter page, and we still do, but we also have a new LinkedIn and Pinterest account. So go onto our page at WriteStreamRadio.com, and you'll see on the homepage you can fan the Twitter or follow the Twitter page, fan the Facebook page. Check out our LinkedIn page, and of course you can always follow us on our Pinterest page. Who knows what we're going to do with that? Pinterest is it's just fun and probably going to get me into trouble somehow. Sorry, Daria, but probably will. Anyway, then I think that's everything. I think that's everything I need to bring up. Like I said, tap into the chat room, because if I miss anything, Gary's going to remember it because she's in there. She's in there now helping me stay on track. All right. So no further ado, keeping my poor guests on hold for too long. I have with me today Helen Chin Liu, and Helen is a reflexologist, but I'm going to read her bio because I'm a reflexologist, please. I don't know what the heck I'm doing compared to Helen. So I want to read her bio so I don't I don't not give her the credit she deserves because she's amazing. Helen is highly trained in the field of reflexology with certificates in foot, hand, ear, pediatric, weight management, fertility, muscular skeletal, which I'm probably not pronouncing that right, and canine reflexology from the New England Institute of Reflexology, and I think it's Wareham, Massachusetts. She's earned a certificate to teach the Introduction Relaxation Reflexology Program. She received her certification in energy medicine through a three-year Rise Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine in Medway, Massachusetts. She also received a Reiki Master certification from Clear Self Care in Milford, Massachusetts. In addition to offering healing services where many people have found relief from their physical struggles, including but not limited to pain and embarrassment, Helen teaches various energy healing classes. Helen hosted an educational cable TV show, Holistic Healing, where she talked to experts in various energy healing modalities about their work. She also authored a children's book, Through My Mommy's Belly Button. Oh, that sounds so cute. All right. And a special report, Proven Alternative Ways to Heal Common Chronic Digestive Problems. What Your Doctor Doesn't Know Can Help You from Healing. And that's very true. Okay, so she is a member of the Massachusetts Reflexology Association and Reflexology Association of America, as well as an active member of the Dream Factory community, a women's support and networking group in Medway, Massachusetts. So I would like to bring Helen onto the show so we can pick her brain about the wonderful ways reflexology can be used for lots of different things. And hi, Helen, I hope you're still there and you haven't hung up on me yet.
No, Lisa. I'm listening and I'm going, is that really me? And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is all of this I have done in the last only probably 8 years of my life. And wow. I'm like, wow. But anyways, I want to thank you so much for inviting me on your show. It sounds absolutely wonderful that what you do to inform people, to teach them all the things that they can do on their own. So I'm very blessed. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I was really excited when I got information, I think it was from your publicist, about what you're doing, because, you know, it's not just the reflexology, but it's the holistic healing aspect, the holistic therapy aspect of it. And some of the statistics that that I got that amazed me. One of them was 40% of U.S. adults used a holistic therapy in 2012. 40%. I mean, that's amazing.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's amazing compared to where we were 5 years ago even, you know. I think that, you know, 5 years ago we were just, I bet you that number wasn't more than 15%, you know, and may not have even been that. So I think that's an amazing... I like that statistic. It makes me feel good because it makes me think, hey, we're finally getting somewhere.
Well, I started my business back in 2006, the Healing Place in Medfield, Massachusetts. And I remember when I first was thinking about going into the holistic business, and I'm thinking to myself, there's so many people who have absolutely no idea what it is, because since people have been for the last, I would say, around two centuries, maybe a century and a half, people have learned to give away their healing powers to medical professionals. So they have no idea what they could do on their own to help themselves heal. So when I started my business in 2006, I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? I had more, what do you do? And why? And
right.
How can this help me?
Right.
And the most important question for them is, does insurance cover this? And I'm like thinking to myself, if they only understood their ability to tap into their own healing capabilities, oh, my gosh, how much better we will all be than waiting for the next, you know, the next pill, the next medication, or the next, you know, instruction from whomever that you take guidance from, and just waiting to heal and pray that what they're suggesting helps.
Right, right. I think that's such part. I get that question a lot too with what I do, you know, with Reiki and even with intuitive counseling, you know, does insurance cover it? And you know, it's usually not. I mean, it's usually a no. And I think that, like you said, if people only understood, I mean, getting, you know, going to a practitioner to get this done is just, the benefits are, it just doesn't matter. I mean, for me, modern medicine, yeah, we need it, we got to have it, whatever. But, you know, it's a lot of times it's just putting a Band-Aid on a symptom, you know, not getting to the root cause of what the problem is. So, you know, it's really just an important thing to think about when you're considering different types of alternative medicine, because of the fact that, you know, modern medicine, you know, obviously there are incredible benefits to a traditional medicine, but there's also a lot of, you know, there's also, you know, popping a pill every day for something, you know, you find out 10 years later that pill causes some other kind of horrible problem. So, you know, it's. I think it's great to have alternatives, and this is definitely one of those. So tell me about some of the things that you're able to do with reflexology, and how do you choose, this is my big thing, how do you choose between whether you're going to use their ear, their hand, their foot, how do you make that, I mean, is that based on what the problem is? How do you make that determination?
Well, let me just can I give your audience just an idea what reflexology is?
Because so many people have. I just think everybody knows and everybody doesn't know.
I know you and I do because we both studied it, but there's so many people out there going, what is it? First of all, this is what is so amazing about reflexology. First of all, in our hands, feet, and ears, we probably have more than, I'm going to ballpark it, about 12,000 nerve endings. Each of those nerve endings is attached to a organ, gland, tissue. It touches everything in the body. Because people also ask me, how does that differ from acupuncture? One thing reflexology does, it touches from the nerve endings, messages are sent up to, through the central nervous system, up to the brain, and then the brain recognizes there's an energy imbalance in the body, and I know exactly where it is. So what the brain starts to do is start to send healing messages to that part of the body, and the body will respond. So out of those 12,000, even though I am pressing those buttons, that's what I call it, the reflex points,
right,
all strategically pressed, and those messages are going through the body, and the brain is reconnecting the circuits. That's the best way of describing it. You're just imagining you burnt a circuit in your house, and slowly but surely everything is clicking back on.
Right.
So that's the difference with reflexology, where acupuncture works primarily with the meridian energy on the surface of the body. So if you have an energy blockage, the energy usually will detour where, instead of having a direct flow to the brain, it will detour. So it takes a little bit longer for the message to get up there. So with reflexology, it's more direct than acupuncture. And then for those people who don't like needles, this is definitely an alternative for them. So coming back, reflexology cannot only be done on the feet, the hand, the ears. There's also face reflexology, and there's also body reflexology. People always ask, well, Helen, which would you work on me, foot, hand, and ears? And sometimes I do. It all depends on the person's what condition they have. So if they have issues going on, let's say the respiratory, chances of I would do is work on the feet, complemented with the hands because the hands is the closest to the heart. And then I could do some ear reflexology to start draining the sinuses.
Okay.
So it's a matter of choosing which is right. So I would take, let's say, for example, my sessions are normally about 60 minutes, and I would break it down maybe 30 minutes in feet, 15 on the hands, and 10 on the ears. And then what I would do is check for the client's response by the way he or she is looking, especially if they are relaxing into the session. So, and usually, I would say at the end of an hour, the person is fairly groggy. They have what I call energy overly relaxation, and they usually have to sit a little bit before they can leave because when the body is so incredibly stressed, and that's what I find most people have, where their health issues come from, is built up stress. And once I could get the body to relax, the body is more apt to respond quicker. So I call it the magic of reflexology.
So the ability to, their body is, so they're coming in a state of, obviously, they're stressed when they're coming in.
They come in when they have health issues where traditional medicine hasn't helped. And I'm tired of taking, you know, following a regimen that has not served them. So chances are very good those are the kind of people who are decide I'm going to be proactive versus let's see what else happens and then take the next protocol.
Right. Right. So what do you suggest? I mean, if somebody's looking for pain relief, like, I don't know, they have chronic back pain or something.
Mm.
Is that something that they can learn themselves, the pressure points that they're supposed to be, that they should be using?
Yes.
Is it something, I mean, I don't know how, if they come in for, say, like I said, back pain, and they're having chronic, it's a chronic condition, and they're popping Vicodin all the time, and they want to have a different option besides popping Vicodin all the time. So they come to you. I mean, how long does the pain relief last, or are you curing the actual problem that's causing them back pain through reflexology?
Well, this is how I'm a little bit different than a traditional reflexologist. I combine, since I am also an energy medicine practitioner, I combine that with the reflexology. And what that means is, as an energy medicine practitioner, I'm looking at why is the energy block, how did it get there, and then teach the client to recognize what it is, and most importantly, when they start to have an emotional breakdown or spiraling down into what I call their darkness, what are the triggers? Because if you do not recognize what is the root of the issue, how are you going to help yourself? I mean, I could press the right buttons all the time, but then what happens a lot of time, you revisit those symptoms. And I'm one of those practitioners. I love to see you come, but I also love to see you go too, because if I don't teach you the tools to recognize and help you when this comes about, then I'm not doing my job, because my personal philosophy is you're not going to become addicted to me. This is, defeats the whole purpose of your own healing. So I am going to give you the tools. So either through I do hand reflexology techniques, or I teach them also what to do, where to press on their feet, and most importantly, can you sit and really be conscious of your lifestyle and what are the triggers? So that's how I teach.
You're getting into it just like I do, trying to find out where, you know, when someone comes to me, I'm trying to find out, okay, what, they're having a physical problem, but how did this physical problem manifest? Where did it come from? What is the root of the problem? And how are you doing that part? I mean, are you able to, is that something you're able to intuitively sense, or is that something, do you have certain testing that you do for that?
Well, since I'm pretty adverse in terms of what a lot of energy medicine is learning to balance the chakras. We have seven main chakras, energy centers, that live on our spine from our groin to the top of our head. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that each chakra has a particular energetic personality that's associated with the illness.
Right.
And I would say I pretty much attract people with digestive issues.
Okay.
People with digestive issues, more times than not, their energy profiles are the people pleasers. They have a lot of guilt. They hold on to a lot of past life experiences they can't seem to let go. But so more times than not, they have the guilt turns into health issues more times than not. So one of the things, because I do have that energetic profile that comes to me quite frequently, I have already a sense how and why they do what they do. So I do a lot of things intuitively. I also, just to backtrack, when they come to me, I do send prospective clients, I send them an assessment form to fill out. This gives me an idea of their energetic profile. Are they open to energy work? Because if I feel they are not, chances are very good that I would say, this is what I need for you to explore. And if this is within your reality, I can help you. But if you decide, let's say, some of the energy aspect of being attached to a wound, like something from the past, chances are very good it's going to be harder to let go of those experiences to allow the healing to begin.
Yeah. I work with chakra balancing a lot, so I work with the chakras. That's exactly how I figure out where the issues are. And I always think if we, you know, get the chakras balanced and we get the chakras, you know, all working together, then you're going to be healthy. You just are. What we do is have we hold on to a lot of different things, you know, like anger and unforgiveness and all these
mm-hmm.
different aspects, things that we're holding on to that are end up causing us physical problems later on. So how is reflexology, you know, addressing?
See, what makes it so really incredibly incredible, by assessing through energy medicine where the energy is blocked, as soon as someone tells me they come in and they've already filled out the form, they have stomach issues, I know exactly what points on the feet to work with. Because those, and I could actually feel, like you, I'm very intuitive. I could actually feel energy. I could feel it move. I could feel it when it's stagnant. I could feel it when it's oversensitive. And I could feel it when it's buzzing. And then what I mean by buzzing, unfortunately, sometimes the energy is so hyper alert, it actually buzzes in the body. So as a job as a reflexologist, I teach the body to calm down. So I'm pressing on those. I do a lot of deep relaxation points on the feet because I need to get everyone to work with me, all the organs and all the glands, because if they're on hyper alert, they cannot heal because they're listening to something else in the body and not to its natural function. So I'm pressing on points mostly for relaxation, and then depending on what issue they're having, let's say people with digestive issues or a person who wants to come in, is a woman who's having fertility issues, I'm pressing on the endocrine system. I am pressing on points to help support the body to activate what it used to be able to do on its own before medication, before stress, before whatever the person is holding on to.
So how do people, one of the things that, how do people, so the first thing you're doing basically is, I'm assuming, is getting the person relaxed by using those relaxation pressure points. Yes?
Yes. What I spend time, I do spend a little time before the treatment teaching people. This is what I found extremely helpful. If people feel that they could be a partner into their own healing process, this is what helps tremendously. I have had clients who basically came in to me and said, Helen, can you fix me? And the first thing I said, no, I cannot fix you. I can help you to help yourself to fix you. I will give you the tools, and what I do is, again, even though I am pressing what I consider pressing the buttons to reactivate, to rebalance, but you are doing all of the work. I am just a facilitator. That's all I am. And since so many people have given their powers to somebody else to heal them,
right,
they don't believe that they could do it on their own.
Right. Right. I mean, it's your ability to self-heal. I mean, we all have an ability to self-heal that we we just don't realize that we have this power inside of us. So how do you recommend people tap into that ability, you know, to heal themselves?
Well, number one step, I teach them, can you have a conscious life? And the first thing people go, what does that mean? I say, can you be aware of the things you do today? And they go, what does that mean? Okay, most people, I consider, live a very robotic life. Monday to Sunday, probably throughout the whole day, over 24 hours or 16-hour period, they already know what they are going to do every single day, probably almost every hour. So when you live a very robotic life, you never have to think about what you're doing because you're just going through the emotions. You're going through the day. You've been programmed to do X, Y, and Z today, so you don't ever have to feel. So when you start to stop feeling, your body starts to do things more times than not, probably you're pushing the limits, and then the body starts to break down because, A, most of us probably do way too much in a given day, and most of us, too, what I notice, if they have an extra 5 minutes, instead of sitting and focus, let's say, quietly on themselves, just thinking about what can I do in that 5 minutes? What can I check off on the list of my to-do list? And this is how you start to break down the body, the overdue, overdue, overdue.
Right. Right. So, you know, I think that everybody, by the way, anyone, if you have questions, please, feel free to call
and
ask.
Feel free to call.
Anything, yeah, anything you want to ask her about energy healing, because we are focusing a little bit on reflexology, but I want to just give everyone your website, www.healingplacemedfield.com and chronicdigestiveproblems.com, because you did say you focus on digestive problems, which, by the way, I want to talk to you about because my son has serious stomach issues. So I'm looking at alternative things because the doctors just keep throwing more pills at him and nothing's really helping.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to talk to you about that at some point. But, one of the things you said, I keep getting myself left off track. Anyway, the call-in number, if you have any questions for Helen, is 347-945-7246. Press 1, and I'll see you in the queue, and I'll get you on the air. If you have your own story about how reflexology, worked for you or, whatever, just feel free to call in and tell us your story and get maybe Helen's opinion on it.
And I would love to do that too. I mean, this is the thing. This is when you begin to take back your powers, and especially being on a radio, you don't have to feel like somebody's watching. Maybe somebody may
right.
recognize your voice, but that's okay. It's better to ask than not to ask and then suffer in silence.
Right.
You know?
And so it's so important. There are so many things that are just, you know, I think about it too. I mean, as I'm getting older, the things that start not working well, having problems with, you know, getting older, a lot of them are embarrassing, and I don't even want to tell my doctor, you know, and it's like, and I always think this is a great forum. Radio is a great forum. You don't have to use your real name. Just call and ask the question. You know what? There's nothing embarrassing. All of our bodies function the same way. We all have all the same parts, and we all have all the same functions, and you know what, we all have the same, you know, we may not all have the same exact problems, but just because you're not experiencing a certain problem today doesn't mean you're not going to, you know, experience it later in life, or, you know, or have experienced it earlier in life. So there's nothing too embarrassing to bring up when it comes to your health.
Definitely not.
You know, you shouldn't talk about it. I think it's just really, really important. Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
Okay,
first,
I was going to say, by you asking a question too, you may be prompting maybe somebody else has a concern, and they're too afraid to ask. And a lot of people, what I've also noticed, when they're suffering with their own ailment, they feel like there isn't anybody else out there to support them, especially if they have a spouse who doesn't quite understand. And what happens when this happens, just think about the accumulation of guilt that you have stored in your body. And then as this guilt becomes more bigger or thicker, just think about how you end up feeling. You end up feeling worse.
Right.
So, and then once you feel worse, then there's more guilt because you can't seem to get over it. And then sometimes, too, you feel like this has taken way too much time. So you, instead of addressing it, you're pushing yourself forward regardless how you feel. So by just asking a question, think of it this way, you may be helping somebody else.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, and sometimes some of the things that we suffer with in silence, some of the things that we have that we go on about and that we're embarrassed to talk about that are, you know, just part of having a human body, some things that we don't want to necessarily talk about are things that, you know, we're suffering with. We're trying every little, you know, we're on Google, we're on WebMD, you know, on all these different sites trying to find, okay, well, maybe this will work, trying to find all these different things that you can try at home. And it may be as simple as finding the right pressure point to focus on. And that's the amazing thing is, you know, there are so many simple ways that we can self-heal, so many ways that we can use alternative medicine to heal. And I think it's really, really important. I do have a caller on the line, so let me get to that next if you're ready for that.
I'm ready.
Okay. Hello. Hi. I have like a bunch of ones showing up, so I'm not sure. Obviously, that's not your real phone number unless you have the coolest phone number on the universe. But do you have a comment or question for Helen?
Yes, I do. Helen, it's great to meet you and listen to your show. My question is that my experience of having reflexology was actually pretty good. You can actually feel some of the different points. I was actually getting it done on my feet, and it's really interesting when the person was pressing on different points on the foot. Is that if I felt some of my organs actually felt like as if they're being pushed on too. That was really
that
cool.
So neat. I love hearing that, to tell you truthfully. And the reason why is this is something that I teach my clients on the table, especially when they're brand new. Painful spots, since I am not a doctor, what I do is tell people when you experience a painful spot, that is usually an energy blockage. And there was sometimes, and you might have experienced this, electrical current going through the body. And you're sitting, lying there, you go, oh, my gosh, I just felt a zap. And what that is an indication of, that energy blockage message got into the brain. The brain says, oh, what's up? Okay, let's do something about it. And it opens up that energy center right then and there.
Yeah, and so, what was really...
Is it your chakra center opening with that, Helen?
Your chakra is opened because one thing about reflexology, it not only works with the central nervous system, it also works with the meridians, the chakras.
Right.
It addresses everything in the body.
Okay. All right. So, our caller, do you have any questions or any other comments? I mean, that's a really interesting story to hear. You, was it actual pressure that you kind of felt like? I mean, it was on. You said it was your foot, right? That they were working on.
Yeah, they're working on feet, but they maybe touched like a area where there's liver or something like that, or kidney or something.
And
like that. It felt like someone was actually.
Yeah, you could feel pressure then?
Well, I can feel as if when someone's touching the liver or touching the kidney.
Wow.
Mm. Well,
that's
he or
amazing.
She did a good job.
Yeah. I've had several, reflexology appointments, if you want to call that, and they were really, really neat. I just really, really interested is, like, do the amount of pressure that people put on a point, does that make a difference also? And you were talking about the hands and the feet, but do the hands have the same nodes that go to different points in the body as the hands do, or they're different?
They are. The hands are just a mirror image of your feet. So you're going to imagine instead of toes, you're looking at your fingers. So obviously your thumb is your big toe. The palmer is the same as the plantar part of your foot, except you're working in a much smaller area. So it's a mirror image. The ear, obviously, is a little bit different because the points in the ears, the earlobe is where your head is. And then the top of the ear, the outside is called a pinna, P-I-N-N-A. That is where your feet are. So you have to press, obviously the points are so incredibly microscopically small. So as you're pressing on the ears, your chances are very good you're going to press on more than one point in that area. So you're pressing and opening up the reflexes to more than one part of the body. And coming back, as you were asking me about the pressure, there's all various types of reflexology. The one that I practice is called American Standard. It's basically like an inchworm technique. So if you ever watch inchworm, it just basically like walks along. So I use primarily my thumb, probably more than I should, and all my fingers are involved. So the pressure, as long as you hit the mark, the point, that's more important than how much pressure you put on there. Back when reflexology came back into recognition in, let's say, 1940s, 1930s, they used to use 30 pounds of pressure in every single point of the foot. So you can imagine, like, so you have a 30-pound weight on one little tiny spot.
Oh, that's a lot.
Chances are very good you're going to be crippled, but you'll feel really good being crippled.
Okay.
So they recognize that the heavy weight does not exist anymore. So you could do it as light. There is the universal method. It would feel like butterflies. And that's how I was introduced to reflexology back in 2006. And I'm thinking to myself, the reflexologist was tapping on both my feet in the same points. And I'm thinking, how can little light tapping do anything? Well, at the end of 16 minutes, I was so relaxed. I was so overwhelmingly relaxed. I felt like a drunk. I couldn't even leave her office. It took me 1 hour to recompose myself. And then I finally realized what that was, is because I'd been stressed for such a long time, and my organs had no idea what to do to relax long enough to de-stress. It went into instant relaxation, and I was really overwhelmed. So I've learned, you know, 7-8 years later, to find balance. I got to learn to stop, because I'm like Lisa. We probably work until we can't work anymore in the given day. So learning to read the cues of the body is extremely important. And that will also cause you, not your body, not to break down.
Interesting.
Yes. Do you have any other questions? See, this is the part I love, educating people what they can do.
Is there actually good, like, do you recommend people they can do it on their own or show them different points? And my second question, is there a difference between maybe you talk about American reflexology, but is there a different, like, difference between reflexology from the East and in comparisons to the West?
Let me answer that question first. The end results are the same. I don't care what practice you have been taught. This is what you want to know. Am I going to get the results I want? So it's a matter of delivery. So whatever you learn with whomever you learn is fine. So it's just a matter of finding which one resonates with you. Coming back to your question about doing treatment at home, on the foot, just to give you an example, the way I was taught, there is a 55-step protocol just for checking in with all the organs and glands. And what I usually do, I repeat a minimum of 3 times. So you could imagine just about, you know, 330 steps that I have to do in just a regular foot reflexology session. And if I decide to combine it with the hands and ears, I have to cut that by third and then work all the way up. And that is just as effective as just doing feet alone. But if you're doing, I mean, it took me, I would say, 6 months to learn the basic steps. And then I've gone on to get my certification in my other reflexology classes. So you can imagine, like, let's say if I end up doing a fertility or endocrine balance with the foot reflexology. So I have to add another 30 steps on top of the 55 times 3. So I could teach someone to do little spot treatments, but let's say if they're interested in learning to do a whole foot, that I cannot do because it's just, it's very, very, I wouldn't say it's complicated, but there's a lot to learn. And then your other question, I can't remember. I'm yakking too much.
Oh, is there a difference between reflexology from the East versus or comparison to the West?
No, it's just a matter of delivery. That's all it is. The end results are the same. And that's what you want. You know, how do you feel? You know, one of the things that I always say to people, what usually helps the client or the person who's receiving reflexology, how do you click with the practitioner? Do you have a good rapport with that person? Do you, you know, do you feel like you complement each other?
Very interesting. I don't know for the question, just a really, really interesting conversation on reflexology.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, another thing that I also do, I get people who ask me to do out-of-state consultations. I do talk to people through Skype how I can help them because I'm not only addressing the reflexology component, I'm also addressing the energy medicine because, again, you need to understand how did this energy blockage get there. One of the things that I always explain to people, we all have defective DNA, but what activates it? If you really think about it, I'm going to give you a quick example. In my family, there's three of us who are diabetics, and I'm the oldest of five. And my brother turned around one day and said, Helen, we're waiting for you to become a diabetic. And I said, no, that's not going to happen. And he says, how do you know? I said, I know what's going on in me energetically. I know what when I have something that's gone into crisis mode, I sit and stop and talk to myself and really understand what's going on. I don't pretend it does not exist. That's the first step of the body breaking down.
Can I answer another question? Is that okay?
It's up to Lisa. She's the.
Oh,
I don't know.
Absolutely. We have another caller waiting. But yeah, absolutely. We can do one more.
Yeah, my question is that I've been learning stuff in yoga versus we have 27,000 nadas or different points by putting your different fingers together. Does that actually do something also? Like if you put your fingers together to create mudras that are in yoga, is that the same, or sort of the same thing of connecting energy points in your body?
Well, what that also do too, if you think about it, see, most of us, when we get overly emotional or we get angry, we get bitter, we either leak our energy out of our body or we recircuit the energy through our body. And obviously the goal really is to try to recircuit the energy through the body versus leaking out. Example, people don't know. Like, for example, if you have a buddy who loves to talk, they're talking, but they say absolutely nothing. Their energy from their chakra in the throat chakra is leaking out of the body. So they'll usually, chances are very good, they have issues with their jaw, into their shoulder. They might also have issues in their hands because the energy is leaked out of their body. They don't know how to recycle. So even with touching the hands together, the fingertips, you're recirculating the energy through your body. And if you sit and focus on that, you could actually feel it whooshing through, especially if you practice yoga. You're probably more sensitive than the average person.
Yeah, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is all the questions I have. Oh, maybe acupuncture and reflexology, are they a good match?
Oh, my gosh, if you do both at the same time, yes, it is, because you're touching, you're working primarily on the meridians, plus you're doing direct access to your organs and glands. So you're not only opening up all surface energy, you're also opening all internal energy.
Okay. Very, very cool.
Well,
okay.
Feel free to reach out to me if you want. If you have other questions, you know, you may email me at wellness@healingplacemedfield.com. You know, go check out my website. You see, I do a whole bunch of cool things, almost just like Lisa.
I think you may have you. I think you may have me beat in reflexology because right now my mind is blown. I'm listening to you and I'm like, wow. I really don't think we went to the same school.
No, well,
you kind of have me beat.
Well, I maybe this is it might sound a little arrogant, but I'm going to pat myself on the back. I would say I do. I am nothing like a traditional reflexologist because I do practice energy medicine and I have the intuitive component. I would go into places that you don't even know. But I go very slowly and very respectfully because when I first started my business back in 2006, I probably have set more people's hair on fire because I said way too much. And I recognize your potential, but again, I could help you slowly to get to the water, but I cannot make you drink.
Right. And that's the bottom line with energy medicine, with the holistic approach is that we do have the final say in whether we get well or not.
Exactly.
You know, and that's it.
Yep, and if you choose, yeah. I honor you, I support you, and I partner with you. So
right.
I don't. One thing I do not believe in, I do not have a holier than thou attitude.
Right.
Whoever works with me, the way you hear me now, I'm down to earth. I tell it if whatever you able to listen to, I will tell it to you gently.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, thank you very much to our caller with really great questions. They were all really good questions, and I appreciate your calling in with them.
Oh, I thought they were great.
They were
to
really
me, that
good,
was, yeah, they were reflexology one-on-one questions.
Yeah, well, and it's good because, you know, like, you know, and I think it's something that we get at when we're doing what we do is that we just assume everybody knows the basics. And I have
yeah.
to always remind, hey, there are people that don't even know what the heck a chakra is, you know?
No,
so it's
and
like,
they don't.
Right. So we're sitting here talking this, and it's like to have somebody, I mean, and obviously this caller knows more than somebody
the
who's never had reflexology, you know, treatment, but... you know, but you know, they're great questions. They were really good questions to really open it up for people who don't know much about this. And you know, the bottom line is, and this is a question I guess to the caller, is you've found huge benefit in the reflexology that you've done. You know, you've had done so far, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and. One of the things, too, you know, to help ease a lot of the people's fears, like I offer for free consultations just to get your foot into the door to ask that first question. And most people find, well, she's not too scary, you know. She
right.
seems to be
right.
pretty good in terms of answering, like, from a very basic point of view, how this could help them, how it would and what is the long-term benefits. You know, people always ask me, will this cure whatever ails me? Well, think of it this way. If somebody is relaxed and give their body a chance to heal, the body is able to heal itself. It's just,
right.
again, we don't develop the energy muscles in the body anymore because it's gotten flabby because it's used to that next pill or next whatever you're
right.
doing or intervention.
Right.
It just doesn't remember.
Right.
And then you wonder why you have flabby energy pockets. Wow, okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean that makes complete sense. I really do. Anyway, to our caller, I appreciate your calling in with some really good questions. That was very helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
So I want to get to our next caller, but, you know, one of the things is I wanted to say that you mentioned earlier is that there is an incredible part to energy healing that you find most of the people that, from what I found, from my perspective, most of the very, very good Reiki practitioners and reflexologists and people that are dealing with, you know, just different types of energy healing modalities do have an intuitive aspect to it. It doesn't mean they can sit down and give you a psychic reading. It's different than that. It's a just knowing
mm-hmm.
an ability to sense where the problem is within the body. And I think that's really important. And I'm not really sure. I mean, for you, how do you tell people that don't live around you, Helen, how do you tell people to pick a practitioner, to pick a reflexologist?
Oh, yeah.
How would you suggest they do that?
Well, I think this is the hardest part is picking and choosing. This is what I always suggest to people is do a little interview. Call them up and ask them about their credentials, what schooling have they gone to, what school, what their experiences are. You know, see if, do you mesh? Do you feel comfortable? Do you trust the person that you're speaking to? Because remember, there's so many people out there who have absolutely no idea what this is, and they're trusting you to guide them. Unfortunately, there are good practitioners, and they're not very good practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
By asking the appropriate questions, again, what are your certifications? How long have you done this? Who comes to see you? And then some practitioners will also give references, who clients
right.
who would give a review. Those are very, very important. What kind of operations do they have? There are practitioners who work out of their home that are very, very good. Are you comfortable in going to see somebody in their house? Do you like to go to see somebody in a professional setting? When I started my business back in 2006, I had it in my home, but I felt it was very, very uncomfortable and not necessarily viewed as professional, so I decided to take it out of my house, and I've been very happy with that decision. Plus, it also teaches people there are boundaries, whereas people, if you come to the home, they end up, oh, is this a visit also after the reflexology session? And you go, no. And you want to be polite, and you don't want to say, get out. But especially if the next client's standing right there, and they go, oh, I guess it's time for me to leave.
Right.
So
right.
ask for your credentials, schooling, experiences, references. And, for example, some practitioners might write, like you, Lisa, you write, you have a radio show. So that
uh-huh.
shows, okay, she's not a fly-by-night practitioner. I see, and one of the things I love to do, I teach. So I do a lot of, like, little mini workshops, and then
right.
I've had a few people who've gone on into advanced education. And they say, okay, this is something I really want to get into. And so I'm very proud of the people who I have trained, for example, in Reiki, who has taken it from A to B. But then again, I'm very thorough in the way I train, and I try to be ethical, plus teach them how to feel energy, not just stand there and just do the sessions. So I do things a little bit differently than the average Reiki teacher.
All right. I want to get to our next caller and calling from 561 area code. Hello.
Hey, Lisa. Hi, Helen. This is Daria.
I knew it was you. This is Daria.
Daria.
Helen, yeah, she's the founder of the RightStream Network, and I knew she was going to be calling in today because she's a big fan of reflexology. So,
Hi, Daria. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I'm really enjoying listening to you. I'm learning so much. I just have a quick story. It's kind of interesting how reflexology affected my life. It was funny, back in 1997, I think it was, I was actually having a pedicure at a salon somewhere in South Florida. And the woman who was doing the pedicure just happened to be studying reflexology. She was going to school for it. And I can't even remember, I think it was like somewhere around my right ankle, but she went to massage that and it really hurt. And she said to me, because that's your ovaries. And what she didn't know at the time was that, and Lisa, this gets to your point about, you know, we're all grown ups and, you know, we'll talk about our problems.
Right,
but I had been
right.
struggling for years with irregular cycles. And I think I told Lisa about this before offline, since I was like 16 years old. And, you know, the traditional medicine was always like, take the pill, take the pill. And even at that young age, I knew that synthetic hormones couldn't be good for me. And I used to just resist it all the time and stop taking them, and which I just thought they were a Band-Aid. But thanks to that woman, though, you know, not soon after that, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
And about a year after that, though, I learned about Dr. John Lee and the work he did as a pioneer with natural progesterone. Started using natural progesterone, and I am like, I haven't had a problem since. Just like, I'm like clockwork, and it's been years now. And
oh,
I mean, that's
I'm
kind of my abbreviated story.
I'm going to have to find out about that, man, because I have fertility people come, and I would like, see, this is where, again, I got to be very careful because I cannot prescribe. But I could just say, hey, listen, I heard this guy is really good with blah, 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 and I could refer the person out. But coming back to the fertility component, See, that's the thing about people, even though they're practicing reflexology, but they're not necessarily doing it in a responsible way. See, that, because heaven forbid, let's say you were pregnant and you were early on pregnant, by stimulating that ovary point and the reproductive area of the ankle, it can, but not necessarily, can cause miscarriage. So this is the thing that I try to teach people who come to me about the responsible part of giving alternative therapy. So you have to be very, very careful, because reflexology is so incredibly powerful. It just takes a touch, because remember, your nerve ending is right there. So these messages are being sent all the way up your leg into your brain. Again, your brain is responding to the touch. So if it's being stimulated, this is where we need to be very, very careful. So it's not pressing just for the sake of just pressing. And then another thing, too, let's say if you came and work with me, I would ask you about your lifestyle, talk a little bit probably about your energy profile, just a little nutshell, Daria. You're probably a fairly sensitive person. You're probably very aware of all the situations around you, about your family. Chances are very good. You probably know more about your family than you care to. So a lot of that energy, yeah, see, you're laughing. This is where I go, I guess where you hold all that energy, right there in your reproductive. Your reproductive area is about, in chakra work, it's about your emotions. And I'm not talking about how you feel, you know, what you're sensing immediately, your tactile emotions. I'm talking about how do you feel about it. Do you feel like you're out of control? Do you feel like you're trying to fix everyone's problems? So these are the things I give people to think about.
Yeah, it was interesting. Now, Dr. John Lee, unfortunately, he's since passed away, but how I came to know about him, like that woman was actually, you know, she was doing a pedicure, and you're right, that's very interesting that you said that, but I just thought it was just a confirmation that reflexology, the validity of it, because, and of course, even after I was diagnosed with that, which I really think I had a kind of a mild case of it, they still were insisting on the pill, and I just said, you know what, I'm not doing this. And then finally I went to a meeting, it was like a women's business meeting, but the speaker happened to be talking about natural progesterone and mentioned the work that Dr. John Lee had done, and he really turned the medical model upside down in terms of women, because, you know, most doctors, most gynecologists, they're so estrogen focused, but there are
women
who are deficient in progesterone, which was what my problem was. And natural progesterone did not need it. I don't know if it does now. I don't even use it anymore, and I'm fine. But it didn't require a prescription. It was bioidentical to the human body. It was made from plants, and I used to purchase it through a company called Arbonne. But it worked. I mean, it was amazing. In all those years, going through all the traditional medical, the traditional medical route. And all I really needed was natural progesterone cream that didn't require a prescription to solve the
problem.
That's
wonderful.
Oh.
That's wonderful, because I do have those people who come to me. So I try to research in between sessions, but it's always not always able to between, you know, the working and plus new clients and teaching. So and any time I have some time, I'm researching. So that's a good one to know. I will look into that for sure.
Great. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm learning so much.
I'm so glad. And this is what Lisa and I do, educate the public that they can be proactive into their own health.
Oh, definitely.
Thanks for calling in, Daria. Keep me honest in the chat room, please.
All right, will do. Take care, ladies.
All right, bye. All right, one of the things I wanted to ask you, well, you brought up a couple things with Daria's call. And a lot of, I get a lot of people that come to me for fertility issues. They are looking to conceive and are not having any success. Is that something that you find reflexology comes in handy for?
Yes, because what you probably already noticed, Lisa, the people, I mean, first of all, fertility is such an emotional health issue. I'm going to put it probably a little bit on the same level as cancer because, you know, once, unfortunately, with fertility, as you know, we're fighting against the clock. Once we'll reach, say, around the age of 28 to 30, you go, oh, phooey, you know, how much time do I have left?
Yep.
So the stress becomes extremely, you're really aware of the stress and the clock, and it's like you're trying to beat the clock. And what I've noticed, I've had some successes with fertility, with women actually undergoing IVF, where they're harvesting the eggs and fertilizing the eggs and reimplanted the eggs in the uterus. I've helped them with the relaxation component, working the endocrine system, which is a lot has to do with there's something hormonally that's not correct. And I'm just helping those women to balance their hormones. So, and I'm doing, what else am I doing? You know, I'm focusing on every single endocrine gland to get the body to work and make sure that the fallopian tubes are open, the uterus is open, and any thing that I need to just focus and rebalance the energy. By working those reflex points, the right ones, you can't get the body to work together. Usually, more times than not, I find that women at the beginning, depending on how much you're into the actual healing, will go deep into it and facilitate and find the balance within. And everything can come to the where they are able to get pregnant and, that, most importantly, to deliver a healthy baby.
Right.
Because
right.
These women that went through IVF, I had one woman was able to conceive. She came to me on her fourth round. She was able to conceive each time, but she lost the baby each time. So you can imagine, you know, here you are trying for the fourth time. And
oh, my, yeah. That, right,
it's so
right.
Heartbreaking. And I had another woman. She came under fourth IVF. She was never able to conceive all through each session, but she was able to do it for the fourth one, working within the reflexology with what she was doing, and she was able to deliver a healthy baby girl. So those are just examples of what I've done to help women to become pregnant.
That's fantastic because it is something, and you're right, and especially with women focusing so much in their 20s now on education and starting a career,
yeah.
A lot of people are like, all of a sudden, wow, I'm 32. I haven't even thought about having kids yet, you know, and then all of a sudden, yeah, or getting married even, and then all of a sudden they're closer to 40. So there are a lot of issues with people that are looking for, you know, whether it's to have a first, you know, or their first or they, whatever, you know, or they're just having trouble conceiving even a second or third child. These issues are real, and these women are looking for answers. And the honest truth is, you know, it's the things that that medicine can do for us, the things that, you know, fertility-wise medicine can do for us, it's amazing. That they can do them. But I got to tell you, it's also very expensive. So if you're spending $10,000, you know, a pop for in vitro, and you want to be able to make sure that it's actually, you know, it's got a better chance of working, then I would certainly think of doing some energy medicine, you know, reflexology with it, because
you don't want to keep
spending that money over and over again. I mean, it would just be good. I don't know how people afford to do it anyway, but you know.
Yeah.
Starting a family is a huge thing. People do delay it now, and so we need to, you know, it's great to be able to offer them methods of, of conceiving that aren't as, invasive and as expensive.
Yeah, and another thing, too, you probably already do this, too, Lisa. You know, what is it energetically why your body is not conceiving?
Absolutely.
You know, these are the things you got to look at. It's a whole entire package. It's not just one component. You need to, as I would say, you have to look at the mind, the body, and the spirit of healing.
I want to talk to you about that connection with with reflexology and with other energy healing and how you incorporate Reiki. But let's first take a commercial break. Give you a chance to get a drink of water because you've been very busy today talking. And we'll be back in like 3 minutes. So everybody hang on. You're listening to Just Believe Radio, and our guest today is Helen Chin Liu, and we're talking reflexology. So everybody, we'll be right back.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Remember Humpty Dumpty and his great fall? Is it possible that we all have a lot in common with him? Could he have removed his propensity to go splat? Is there anything we can do to remove our own fault lines? Stephen Lewis, the developer of a 24/7 self-healing technology, the AIM program of energetic balancing, believes that in the absence of fault lines, Humpty would have just gotten banged up, a little dirty, requiring a little detailing rather than be put back together. Instead, he broke where he was programmed to age. But unlike Humpty, we can heal our fault lines, remove our potentials for disease instead of counting on others to diagnose or treat our symptoms. How? Visit aimprogram.com. Get Stephen's book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, and join the thousands worldwide who are changing their programming and becoming the first in the history of their family with no family history.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @RightStream and #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. We are back. You're listening to Just Believe Radio. Today, my guest is Helen Chin Liu, who is an expert in reflexology and energy healing methods. And before the break, Helen, we were talking a little bit about the whole mind, body, and spirit connection, which I think, you know, we've been talking about all along, and that's obviously the basics of holistic health. We're trying to find the imbalances within our energy body that's causing whatever the issue is that we're having, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual. So one thing I wanted to say is I know you're a Reiki practitioner as well. Are you a master?
Yes.
Okay. So,
you know, between I'm one of those people too. That's so funny. When I'm doing reflexology, I'm also doing a Reiki session at the same time.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. But I don't think you can, I've found that no matter what I'm doing and no matter what method I'm using for healing,
mm-hmm.
I can't stop the Reiki. I mean, the Reiki's just always kind of flowing if my hands are on someone and they need healing. So you're experiencing that same sort of thing?
Yes. Yes, it will help the person to go deeper into their healing. So that's why I do that. But it's so funny, the reflexology is already, it either energizes the person or relaxes the person. So it's not uncommon. I have somebody on the table, they're chatting through the whole session. And since I work with a lot of people who've been coming to me for years, and I have a fairly very intimate relationship with everybody who comes one way or another, so
sure.
The conversation always goes towards, you know, what are we looking for? What is it that we're trying to achieve? Because one of the things I do in my reflexology sessions, it's very goal-orientated. Okay, what are we looking for and how we're going to get there? So basically how I do my programs, I customize programs for each and every single person because everyone is different. So I don't do what I consider a cookie-cutter healing session on everybody. So
right.
Depending on what they need, that's how I work with them.
Yeah, and I think everything, I mean, it is very personalized. And I get a lot of people that are like, you know, that might contact me and be like, I don't know if I need a chakra balancing or if I need a Reiki treatment or if I need, you know, what they need. And I'm like, you know what, just come in because I don't know either. Until you get here and I'm like, you know, I can feel... I can connect with your energy. I'm not completely sure exactly what I'm going to use. Sometimes I'm breaking out. You know, I'm using color therapy. You know, I'm a big believer in color therapy, and I really think that that being exposed to the right colors for, you know, I always say when people wake up in the morning and they want to wear gray. Don't wear gray. Wear yellow or, you know, something. I mean, it's like you end up wanting, sometimes you're attracted to a color that, because it's in the morning and you feel, you know, it's Monday morning, I don't want to go to work, you know. So you go for the black or the gray or whatever. And I always think, you know what, sometimes you just need to, wearing a bright color can do an amazing thing for your mood and for your outlook, you know, on your day. So... I'll throw some of that in. I just never know, and you know, that's where the intuitive piece of it comes in. When you meet someone and you're sitting with them, and all of a sudden you're just like, I know what to do for you. I know how to help you, you know. And sometimes it starts. Usually with me, it starts with a very stern lecture. I find myself lecturing people, you know, you're holding on to too much. You're holding on to too much anger. You're holding on to too much of the past, you know. And there's that saying, and I forget who this is, and I say this saying, I repeat this all the time, and I can never remember who said it. But it was, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. And if you're happy, you're living in the present. And I think that is such a true statement because I find in almost every case that I've ever seen that someone comes to me with either anxiety or depression or both, they're focused on shoulda, coulda, wish they would've, you know, or, oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with tomorrow or next week. You know, it's like nobody's living for right now. And I'm finding that to be one of the truest statements, and I have to look up who wrote that, who came up with that, and acknowledge them, because I say it so often and I don't give them credit for it, but it was not me. That's all I can tell you. I wish it were me because it was genius, but it wasn't me. So tell me about, you know, one of the things I know you focus a lot on is balancing hormones naturally. How does that work?
Well, first of all, I mean, our body is full of endocrine glands. I mean, you're talking, I could go, first of all, it's just the pituitary gland. This is all in the head, pituitary, your hypothalamus, which is underneath your in between your eyes. There's the thymus, which is not necessarily a endocrine gland, but it's something that will also help to build immunity. There's the thyroid. There's a parathyroid. Going down further is your pancreas, which is helps to break down sugars, plus it also helps with the endocrine system that does hormones that is added. You're talking about your also your adrenals, your ovaries, your uterus. So it's what's going to be really be important is to balance all the energy in all of those glands. And I could feel where, let's say, a woman comes in for hormonal issues, I could actually feel where the imbalances are. And I'm pressing on those points. And usually one has to press on 2 to 3 points at the same time. So, I mean, you could stimulate each one by itself, but in order to really kickstart it, you've got to press, chances are very good, you've got to do the pituitary, your thyroid, and your hypothyroid at the same time, and then come back to the pineal gland to help to regulate and start to move, especially if you haven't had a period in a long time. The hypothalamus has to really be stimulated. Your hypothalamus also regulates your sleeping. So let's say if you have a person who wears sunglasses all the time, what happens in order to regulate your hypothalamus, you have to have, let's say, 15 minutes of no protection on your eyes because you need that light to hit not only your retina, but you also need it to help to reset your time, your clock in your body. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I stimulate to get the body to recognize, all right, the period's been that regular or worse or, you know, or just as bad as a woman who's going through perimenopause or menopause. So I have to stimulate all of those glands to get everybody to work again. How do you like that? Is that a mouthful or what?
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, sometimes I think, one of the things when I have done reflexology in the past is the fact that you're pressing on several different points at one time, and you know this just goes to the point I made earlier about you know really needing to know that you've got somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who's experienced, somebody that really has really has studied this. Well, because it's not just not a foot massage. I mean, it's way more. And people think, you know, reflex. Oh, I'm getting a foot massage. No, it's not a foot massage. It's not what it is at all. This is so much more detailed, so much more intense than that. And the practitioner needs to know what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, what's the thing? It's not just about making your feet feel good. I mean, or your hands feel good. It's way more than that. You know, if you want a hand massage, go get a manicure. If you want a foot massage, go get a pedicure. You know, it's way more detailed than that.
Most reflexologists, I mean, first of all, they need to be certified. This is really important. This, our certification program, the changes are coming with a person needs to have at least 300 hours. And I'm going to break down what I had to do to get my basic certification. So I probably had, like, I'm going to guess around 160 hours of classroom. I had to do 75 practice sessions. I had to also do 100 clinical sessions, and what that means is I had to get 10 people who were willing to commit to 10 sessions. And obviously, I have to have a focus, what we are going to work on, and I have to record each single session to see what is the progression of the health. And on top of it, I had to write a thesis. This was just in my little reflexology program. And what I chose as a theme for my thesis was, can reflexology help to reduce medication intake, reduce or even eliminate? So out of my clinical work, the 10 people came to me, probably 6 were heavily on various, I would say, medication for arthritis or various forms of arthritis. So there's the rheumatoid arthritis, there's the osteoarthritis, so forth and so on. What I found in my thesis, well, my thesis working on those clients were that the with regular reflexology, and that was once a week for 10 weeks, we were able to reduce medication, or better yet, did not have to increase medication. So either way, depending on how you look at it, but there was a noticeable difference in people's condition, their lifestyle, where they could live a relatively reduced pain level. So I was totally blown away by the results of this. So, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, can you just imagine just pressing the right buttons could do this to a body? And again, right, there was the only follow-up that one has to do with reflexology. It is suggested that they drink water. What the water does is to flush out toxins, because as I'm moving all the toxins, it has to find a way out of the body. So I always suggest, you know, what I've been telling, you know, this is going to be helpful for you, because, again, I can't prescribe by saying, hey, you need to drink water. So
right,
drink as close to 8 glasses a day, or at least, you know, well, you should anyways, but most people don't drink enough water to saturate their cells, because when you don't saturate your cells with water, guess where that toxin lives? It stays in the cells. And
yeah,
since most people are dehydrated, they don't realize that they need, they're not flushing. So if they're starting to feel sluggish or they're mentally in the fog, what else are the other symptoms besides dry skin? Chances are very good you're dehydrated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And dehydration, I mean, you know, I remember hearing one time that if you're, by the time you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated.
You're very dehydrated.
Yeah, and I thought that was really interesting. And I constantly, I'm one of those people that walk around with a water bottle, you know, everywhere I go. I'm constantly drinking water. And I find that it is so good for you in so many different ways. And after a chakra balancing session or a Reiki session with somebody, I'm always like, drink a lot of water. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. Because, you know, everything that I've done to your chakras basically is a detox. And you want to
mm-hmm.
flush all that out. So it's the same sort of thing. I think after any kind of energy work, it's important to drink a lot of water, but I think it's also something that we should be doing every day of our lives. I mean, water is just very, very, very important. We just have a few minutes left, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell everybody anything that we haven't covered that you want to highlight. How people can get a hold of you, and anything else you want to let people know.
Well, the most important thing that I always tell people, there's no need to suffer. If you feel that the paradigm that you are under, your health regimen, you feel uncomfortable, please go and explore alternative ways. Most practitioners will work with you. Most do not cover, do not have insurance, even though that's starting to be recognized by some insurance companies. But most practitioners will work with you. Make a commitment of time. If you're going in to look for, let's say, a quick fix, this is not for you. I always tell clients, I'm very honest, if you're coming for 1 or 2 times, this will not work. And the reason why is your brain has a default button. It is used to a certain condition, and it desperately wants to go back. If you're feeling bad or feeling poorly, it desperately wants to go back to that feeling because it's used to it. It does not know any other way, and especially the ones that have been, the bodies have been so conditioned from the medication, it just don't remember what to do. I would suggest if you're going to do a commitment, try at least a minimum 4 to 6 sessions. Some practitioners would say come once a week for a little while. This is what I do in my practice. I see people at least once a week for 4 times. And again, very goal-oriented, what are we trying to achieve? By the 4th session, your brain starts to say, okay, I'm going to behave. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it. And what I usually do from there, I start to space out the sessions to maybe every other week, just only twice, then every 3 weeks, twice. And usually by the eighth session, by usually the sixth session, the person feels almost 200% better. And then what I suggest at the end, if they wish to maintain, they could come monthly. And people say, why should I maintain? And I say, well, let's think of it this way. When for you to feel good, you probably do some form of exercise more or less several times a week. You probably go see your doctor for wellness care maybe once a year, or maybe going to the dentist twice a year, you know, give or take. Think of this as a wellness plan, not as something is a luxury. To me, being sick, let's say if you're sick for decades, to me, that is hard. It's a take the time. Make a commitment to yourself that you want to do this for yourself. And then people will say, well, I have family, I have college, I have this. You know what? Where are you in the scheme of all of this? Do you count? Do you count? And I get them to think, and they could answer their own questions. So this is what I do, and this is what Lisa does. If you want to hook up with me and ask me more, feel free to look at my website at healingplacemedfield.com, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, place, P-L-A-C-E, Medfield, M-E-D-F-I-E-L-D.com. Contact me. Don't be shy. What is sad is the people, because they're so locked into their old habits, they will not take the next step towards empowering themselves in their own health. You could do this. It's easy. Pick up the phone. Pick up the computer. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. You can do this. So that's my message, Lisa.
It's a great message, Helen. I really think we've hit on some really important topics today, and made it, you know, even though we were talking, you know, reflexology for much of the time, we also focused on just the overall holistic idea, and the idea of being your own, representing yourself and learning that you have the power to self-heal, and you have other options. You don't always have to take a bunch of pills. You don't always have to, there are other options. And, it's just nice to know that they exist, and people can learn more by, again, visiting Helen's website at healingplacemedfield.com, yeah, and also chronicdigestiveproblems.com. I really appreciate your being on the show. It was great talking with you. I hope you'll come back on. There were so many other things
definitely
I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But we ran
Lisa,
out of time.
Can I just do a quick and say, hey, listen, I have written a free report that you could download for free called Proven Alternative Ways to Heal Common Chronic Digestive Problems. What your doctor doesn't know can keep you from healing. So these are reflexology tips for the hands and feet that you could do to you for yourself as of today.
And that's they can find that on chronicdigestiveproblems.com?
Yes. Either website,
oh, cool,
they could find it in. So whichever
okay
one they choose, they could click on, and they could get that free report, and this is how you could be proactive as of today.
That's great. That's great. I'm going to definitely take a look at that because, like I said, I have a 20-year-old son that has chronic stomach issues, and I would love to find out why. So.
Okay. Well, let's talk,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we'll have to I'll definitely have to talk to you about that off air. And, again, thanks so much for being on the show. And I really look forward to getting you back on soon so we can touch on some other things, too, because there were a lot, like I said, a lot of things that I didn't get to ask you that I would have loved to have. So, thanks so much, and I'll be in touch.
Very good, dear. Thank you so much, and I really enjoy this.
I'm glad.
So I'm going to say goodbye, be well, and be proactive.
All right, great. Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon.
All right, everyone. That was Helen Chin Liu. You can find her at healingplacemedfield.com or chronicdigestiveproblems.com, where you can learn more about her ability to work with reflexology and different energy methods for healing. I also want to remind everyone that starting next week, my show is going to air at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, still on Sundays, but just at 7 p.m. instead of 1 p.m. And next week we're going to actually do live psychic readings, everybody's favorite thing. We're going to have two of my good friends, Nicole Guillaume and Crystal Kirchen, who have been on the show before and do amazing, amazing, amazing readings. So I love these guys, and they're going to be on next week, and we're going to take lots of live callers for psychic readings. So make sure you write that down. That's going to be next week, Just Believe Radio on the Right Stream Network at 7 p.m. on Sunday, and that's East Coast time. So that pretty much wraps it up. Again, everyone, please check out rightstreamradio.com, the new website for our network, rightstreamradio.com. Like I said at the beginning of the show, if you missed it, it's not perfect yet. We're still, we're still adding to it. It just launched this week, so we're going to definitely be adding more content, and we're probably going to be adding a blog. Who knows what we're going to do? It's just unlimited possibilities. So keep checking back on rightstreamradio.com. Follow us. You can follow me. All my links are through my website, lisatarves.com. That's LISATARVES.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, all those different accounts. And also, when you go to rightstreamradio.com, follow Rightstream Radio. We have some other great shows on this network, and we have another great show about women's issues starting. We'll be talking more about that soon. That's going to be starting in November. And hopefully the beginning of next year we're going to launch a couple more new shows with some new hosts and new topics. So everybody keep paying attention to what we're doing. Rightstream Radio is going to be the newest and greatest thing in radio. So keep listening, and don't forget to, again, check out my website at lisatarves.com. And you'll find links also to my book, Just Believe, there, where you can purchase it on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or through the publisher, Balboa Press. Until next week, everybody, next week at 7 p.m., next Sunday at 7 p.m., everyone have a happy and safe week, and make sure and find some moments of joy throughout the week. And I will be in touch with you guys next week and throughout the week through my different followings on Twitter and my different posts on Twitter and Facebook and all of that. So stay in touch and keep paying attention, and I will talk to you all next week. Thanks for listening.